So for communion, every time we have communion, we somehow, we're getting back to the cross of Christ. And we focus on some element of what Jesus has done for us to prepare us to partake of the bread and the cup. Remember the body, which represents the body of the Lord Jesus, broken for us and the blood shed for us. In Indian Valley, as you know, all of the Gospels present the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, sent from the Father to die for our sins. You know this. We talk about it all the time. To die for our sins in our place, to save those who place their trust in Him. And even before the death of Jesus, all of the Gospels, all of them, they tell us that this is why Jesus came. They all focus on this. For example, even before the birth of Jesus, I quoted this 100 times in Matthew already. Even before the birth of Jesus, you might remember that Matthew 1:21 tells us very specifically that Jesus will save His people from their sins. Jesus will do this. Even before His birth, it mentions this. Mark 10:45, during Jesus' ministry, it tells us Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Luke 19 tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know, actually, in two places in John's Gospel, right at the beginning, both in chapter 1, both from the mouth of John the Baptist, it says that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the, right, sacrificial Lamb. That's what they were doing back then. They were making sacrifices for sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And you know that each gospel ends, I've assumed that probably most have read the Gospels, you know, maybe read the New Testament, and you know, each gospel ends with the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Usually about, you know, 2 chapters will focus on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus at the end of the Gospels. And you know, you've read it. You've read how Jesus was beaten and mocked and flogged and spit on and stripped and crucified between 2 thieves. You know this. But have you ever considered Matthew 27:45? Check it out. And I probably won't spend too much time on this later on in Matthew, because we're going to look at it right now. Matthew 27:45. Have you ever considered this? Kind of an odd verse. It says, now, from the 6th hour, which is noon, by the way, right? We talked about this last week. From the 6th hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the 9th hour. In other words, from noon to 3, right? 3 hours there, darkness came in that area. Darkness came. And you might also remember that it was the 9th hour. In fact, the next verse actually tells you that it is about this 9th hour, the end of the darkness. That's when Jesus actually dies. Matthew says about the 9th hour. That's when he gave up the ghost, you know, and he died on the cross. You might also, maybe you've read this, maybe you've heard about this, that Josephus, you know, you've heard of Josephus probably. He's an old guy, right? Not a Christian. He was a Jew who actually lived in the first century, and his writings are pretty helpful, especially for what's going on in the time. Josephus actually tells us that it's the 9th hour that the Jewish priest would sacrifice the evening offering. The 9th hour at, you know, 3, that's when they sacrifice, you know, the lamb for the sins of Israel. That's the time, ironically enough, that's the very time that Jesus dies on the cross, okay? And you probably know a lot of this stuff, but have you ever wondered about the darkness here? What's up with this? What's up with the darkness here? Now, some, depending on who you read, there's different opinions. Now, what I'm going to try to do is connect it to Scripture. I think a lot of times we come up with different views and explanations for this, but they're not connected to the Bible. And you'll hear different things. Some people will say, well, it's just, even you can go in the secular world, well, it's just a mere solar eclipse. That's what happened. Just a solar eclipse. Now, by the way, there was a solar eclipse, but probably 3 years after what we see here. The timing doesn't quite work out, and you might say, well, maybe the timing does work out or whatever. But listen, some, I think, have aptly pointed out that, remember, Jesus is crucified. This is like Passover time. And since the Jewish Passover occurs during the full moon, right? It's always in the full moon, which is the moon you can see. Well, church, a solar eclipse can only occur in the phase called the new moon. A new moon. It's not a moon you even see. Therefore, listen, the darkness here is not just merely a solar eclipse. This is a supernatural event we're talking here. It is a supernatural event. But why? What's up with this? Why darkness? What's the point of the darkness here? Well, church, if you know your Bible, and you should always do this, always connect to your Bible. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. And a lot of times it just fleshes out the answer. It'll stare us in the face. But if you know your Bible, and I'm going to give you a short list, you can make this study way, way bigger. But listen, darkness in the Bible, darkness. This is loaded language. It's even loaded in the Gospels in different senses, and we'll see at different times. But listen, darkness is loaded language, which should remind you, when you think of darkness, it should remind you of things like plagues and disaster and the wrath of God in judgment upon sin. It should remind you of those things, because the Bible's littered with this stuff, For example, and again, here's the short list. Hey, how about this? Think back to Egypt and the stuff in Genesis I'm just passing over. Okay, we can't cover everything. It'd be a huge sermon, and we just have brief communion sermon today. But listen, think about Exodus. Think about Exodus when Egypt says to Moses, you know, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I will not let Israel go. I will not do this. And remember, the Lord sent plagues upon Egypt, including a plague of darkness. And look at Exodus 10:21. This is one of the plagues. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even a darkness which may be felt. Listen, in the context here, darkness here depicts God's judgment that fell on Egypt because of their sins. That's what happens in the Exodus. That's what happens, okay? And here's another text. Check out this one, Isaiah 5:30. It describes, by the way, God's judgment that would fall on Israel because of their sins. Very clearly, and you're going to see a theme all the way through the Old Testament on this. But check out this text, right? It talks about, actually, you got to go to the verse before. I want to pick up the later here. But it talks about the judgment that will fall upon them, and it will growl over it, over Israel, like the roaring of the sea. And this is how it's described, God's judgment. It's like as if one looks to the land, an Indy Valley, listen, behold, there is darkness and distress. Even the light is darkened by its clouds. In other words, church, here, darkness depicts God's judgment, His judgment that falls on Israel because of their sins. That's what's going on here in Isaiah. And you'll find this kind of stuff, again, all over the place. The day of the Lord in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord, which is a time of judgment, by the way. This is where God comes upon them for their sins and sends them into exile. Israel goes into exile. It also depicts a latter day, which lies still ahead of us when the Lord returns. And yeah, He saves His people, but He judges other people very clearly. I don't care if you're talking Old Testament or New Testament as well, but it's alluding to this day of the Lord and the day of the Lord that comes to sinners because of their sins. It describes it as a day of darkness in Joel chapter 2, verse 10. It says, the sun will be turned into darkness, Joel 2, 31. In the book of Amos, chapter 5, two times in chapter 5, it describes the day of the Lord as a day of darkness, not light. That's how it words it. Check out this verse, Amos 8:9. It goes like this. On that day, it's talking about the day of the Lord now, that scary day of judgment, right? On that day, this judgment God is going to bring because of sins, on that day declares the Lord, listen, I will make the sun go down at what? You got to catch it. That's the sixth hour, by the way. At noon, I will make the sun go down at noon and darkness and, you know, darken the earth in broad daylight. That's what the Lord will do. Listen, don't dump your Old Testament because you're a New Testament Christian, or you're not going to understand a lot of stuff in the New Testament either. You will miss a lot. In Indian Valley, listen, darkness depicts God's judgment that falls on the wicked because of their sins. And even when you read in the New Testament, you read about hell. It is called a place, from the mouth of Jesus, by the way, a place of outer, what? You remember? Darkness. It is a place of outer darkness. Jesus says in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for darkness. Darkness depicts God's judgment that will fall on sinners for their sins. Which brings us back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Now remember what's going on here. You've read this account. You've heard it 100 times. Jesus is crucified. Remember what's going on there. As Jesus hangs on a wooden cross, according to the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus is under God's curse. He is under God's curse. That's what Paul says. He is cursed by God. The Apostle Paul in there is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 21. It's all bound together in the Bible. What's going on there? Jesus is under a curse. In Matthew 27, verse 46, you might remember, Jesus quotes Psalm 22. And he says, remember, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? But listen, Jesus suffered divine abandonment. Divine abandonment. Abandonment that sinners deserved. That sinners deserved. And look again at Matthew 27, 45. Check this out. It says, now from the sixth hour, right? Noon, right? Sixth hour darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. From noon until three, darkness fell in Indian Valley. Darkness here depicts God's judgment that fell on Jesus because of your sins. Do you see the connection? This is shot all the way through the Bible. All the way through the Bible. And the judgment that you deserve fell upon Christ as he died in our place. Oh, Indian Valley, have you ever read the curses of the law? A lot of times New Testament people, the side of the cross, we're not too connected with our Old Testament. Have you ever read the curses of the law? Have you ever read what happens, you know, God's attitude when people violate his moral law? I'm talking like the Ten Commandments, the other laws. Look at Deuteronomy 28. You can read the whole chapter for your edification. It's pretty bleak. Let me read some verses here, though. 16 through 19 goes like this. Violate God's law. Violate his law. Forget his Ten Commandments. Listen to what it says. Listen to the curses. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be your offspring, the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall be you when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And it goes on to say that the Lord, not some generic law, the Lord will curse and smite you. And Deuteronomy 28:29 says this, check it out. It says, and you will grope. At what time of day? Noon. Catch it. Noon, the sixth hour. As the blind man gropes in darkness. And you will not prosper in your way. And you shall only be oppressed and robbed continually. And none, with none to save you because of your sins. Because of your sins. Listen, your sins, you, and I'm talking you deserve the curse of God. And so do I. So do I. Like how one old dead guy puts it, that happened to be reading now, Joseph Aileen, old pastor, died when he was 34 years old. Interesting guy, though. Listen to what he says about the law, this kind of curse stuff here. Listen to this, quote. He says, the law discharges all its threats and curses at you. Oh, how dreadful does it thunder. It flashes devouring fire in your face. Its words are drawn swords and as sharp arrows of the mighty, like shooting at you. It demands satisfaction to the uttermost and cries justice, justice, and speaks blood and war and wounds and death against you, end quote. But let me tell you, in God's loving plan, O church, in God's loving plan, Jesus took the wounds and the wrath and the death and the curse and the judgment for you who repent and turn to Jesus in faith. Amen? That's what we get. That's what we get. For Indian Valley, in the Gospels, in the Bible, for goodness sake, but in the Gospels, the darkness depicts God's cursing judgment that fell. It's supposed to fall on sin, but it falls upon, instead of you, it falls upon Jesus because of your sin, not his. He doesn't have any. Because of your sin. For Jesus paid the debt, your debt, my debt, on the cross and died in our place. And Jesus, think about it, Jesus took the Deuteronomy 28 curse. You hearing this? He took the Deuteronomy 28 curse for the moral law's violation. He took the cost, the curse. Remember, listen, Jesus groped at noon. He groped at noon. Jesus was in darkness. Jesus, his earthly life, his way did not prosper. He was oppressed. He was robbed continually. Even think about Jesus' garment being like gamed by the soldiers while he's looking on crucified. Jesus was robbed with none to save. With none to save. Not that day. Not that day. For Jesus paid the debt and took the judgment. Do you? Do me? For our sins. For our sins. And all who trust in him for forgiveness. All who trust in him for forgiveness and righteousness. Righteousness which was bought through his sacrifice. You don't secure it. He secures it. And those who turn to him are made the children of this wonderful, loving God who did this for us. We are made his children, the children of God. We are made right with God. Have you believed into this? Have you believed it? If so, oh church, praise him. Praise him. Serve him with gratitude. Let the old life go. Serve him. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper today, oh Indian Valley, remember what Jesus has done for us. Remember. Remember.